We're going to take our Bibles and turn over to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 in your Bibles this morning, and we're starting a brand new chapter in the Gospel of Luke, but not a brand new subject. It is a continuation from what Jesus Christ had been doing in chapter 11, and we're going to read the first 12 verses together. Luke chapter number 12, verse number 1, the Bible says that in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear, in closets, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which hath, after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you into synagogues and into the and unto the magistrates and powers, that ye take no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Let's take our Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 in your Bibles. We're picking up in the middle of something Jesus Christ is teaching. And it is all about hypocrisy, phoniness, not being real. And it ends in a very interesting place about God's care for you and for me. Luke chapter 12 in your Bibles, as we pick up in the middle of this episode about hypocrisy. I noticed something when I was reading over these chapters 11 and 12, I noticed an interesting pattern that was unfolding. It was a pattern in which Jesus Christ would be confronted with something, and Jesus Christ would answer a question, or would take the situation at hand, and he would address that. And then after he addressed the situation at hand, or answered the question that was posed to him, then Jesus Christ kind of stepped away and got his disciples, and he taught them what they should learn as a result of what he had just discussed with a larger crowd of people. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus Christ was in a home. And in that home, the home of a Pharisee, the Pharisee confronted Jesus Christ with a question about his lack of observing the traditions of their religion. And Jesus Christ took that opportunity to address the subject of religious hypocrisy. And we've spent two Sunday mornings looking at what Jesus Christ said in response to the Pharisees and the lawyers. Those were the people that studied the law of the Old Testament, taught the law, and the Pharisees, the ones who built their religion based upon the lawyers' interpretations and teachings. So Jesus Christ addressed the religious hypocrisy that was rampant in the religion of Judaism of his day. And after spending time doing that, he he now pulls away and he meets with his disciples. And he points back at what he had just taught. And then he makes an application to his disciples and encourages them in some things that they needed to learn. And so even though we've spent two messages looking at religious hypocrisy, Jesus now is, and that was directed to the unsaved. That was an unsaved person asking the question about their religious practices and traditions that were all man-made. It was all phony. It was false religion. It was shallow. It didn't change lives. And after Jesus addressed the unsaved crowd about the danger of their false religion and the hypocrisy that grew out of that, he now turns to his friends. And he has some things he wants to say to his friends about how they should learn the danger of hypocrisy from what he had said. And so this morning we're going to look at what Jesus said as he now responds to his friends, to his disciples about the religious hypocrisy. Over the last couple of weeks, we have painted a little bit of a picture about what hypocrisy is. We showed a picture of a Greek and a Roman theater where the idea of hypocrisy came from. I believe it'll come up here on the screen in a moment. And the picture of the Greek theater that gave birth to the idea of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy was a word that came out of the dressing rooms of the actors in the Greek and Roman theaters. It was the concept of putting on a mask and coming out into public and acting out a part that was not true of what you were as a real person. And Jesus Christ saw in the religion of his day, the religious leaders of his day, this tendency to live out a masked picture of something that was not true about what they were on the inside. And Jesus called that hypocrisy. And in Luke 11, Jesus Christ spoke very pointedly to the religious hypocrites of his day. As we went through what Jesus said, we noticed that there were six characteristics of religious hypocrisy that he was condemning. You just may be a hypocrite if you major on minors. They were all about their man-made traditions, but they ignored the doctrines of the judgment of God against sin and of the resulting punishment that would bring to them and the love of God that solves that dilemma and problem. They would ignore the big things and they would major on the minors. We also learned that you may be a hypocrite if you're more concerned about what people think of you than what God knows to be true about you. They were all about reputation as being more important than character. And so who they were on the inside was different than what they were on the outside, because on the outside they wore a mask and they lived a charade so everyone would think they were good, when in reality, at the core of their heart, they were wicked. And so you may be a hypocrite if you're more concerned about what people think of you than what God knows to be. We also saw that you may be a hypocrite if you conceal your wickedness. No one knows where you go on the internet at 1 o'clock in the morning. No one knows the thoughts that are going through your mind when you sit there with a smile and you look so righteous, but the thoughts and the intents of your heart, no one knows what is really on the inside. That's hypocrisy. You conceal the reality of your wickedness. And then we also learned that you may be a hypocrite if you require others to do what you don't do yourself. You want them to do the right thing, but you don't do the right thing yourself. You may be a hypocrite if you persecute the people who tell you the truth. This is particularly poignant in our culture today, because the Bible tells us that the time would come when people would just want to hear somebody make them feel good. And so they will persecute the ones who tell them the truth, and they'll go try to find a preacher or a teacher or friends that tell them what they want to hear instead of telling them what they need to hear. And this tendency is a characteristic of hypocrisy, and it pervades our culture today. And then finally, Jesus Christ said, you may be a hypocrite if you teach false doctrine about salvation. In other words, if you go through the religious traditions The ceremonies, the baptisms, the confirmations, the prayers, all the man-made traditions, the trappings of religion. If you teach that all of those tendons, traditions will get you to heaven, then you're a hypocrite. Because the reality is that no matter how hard anybody tries to practice religion without the shed blood of Jesus Christ redeeming them and birthing them into God's family through the miracle of the new birth, without the genuine Bible teaching of how to be saved, you're wrapped up in false doctrine and your religious practices is all a mask, a hypocrite, a tradition of religion. Jesus hated religion. Jesus Christ despised religion because religion makes people hypocrites and sends them to hell, all while they look on the outside like they're so good. And so Jesus has been teaching all this, directed to unsaved people, trying to get unsaved people to realize the truth about their own hearts. So they would realize they need to turn from religion and turn to Jesus Christ. They need to embrace the teaching that Jesus Christ by now has been teaching and preaching all over Israel for the last 3 years. And so Jesus Christ is directing all of that to the unsaved. But now, chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says that in the meantime, remember at the end of chapter 11, the hypocrites, the religious hypocrites reacted not by repenting and getting saved. They reacted by trying to provoke Jesus Christ to say some outlandish things so they could trap him in his words and destroy him. And so this controversy is just brewing with the unsaved people around Jerusalem. So chapter 12 opens up and says, in the meantime, there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people. I mean, this teaching of chapter 11 was done in a house, in the Pharisees' home. And the people spilled out of that home, that party that the Pharisee had. And the word is spreading all over town what Jesus Christ has just preached. How dare he address our traditions in this way? And the word spread around Jerusalem and there's a turmoil. The Pharisees are trying to catch Jesus Christ slipping up in what he said so they could trap him and destroy him. And this is piquing everyone's interest in what Jesus Christ is preaching. Remember, he had been up in Galilee. He's just now coming down into Jerusalem. So these people that live around there, they hadn't been around him that much in the last couple of years. And so now word is spreading around Jerusalem. And the people are crowding. Where is Jesus? We want to hear for ourselves. He said what about our traditions? He called our religious leaders what? How dare him call our religious leaders hypocrites? And so the word is spread all over town. And an innumerable multitude of people gather together. So much so that they're stepping on each other. You've been in a crowd of people that is so thick you can't get through the crowd. You have to push your way and push people out of the way to get from one place to another because of the intense crowd of people. You end up stepping on people's feet and they trode upon one another. And when all of that was unfolding, Jesus Christ began to say to his disciples, so now he turns to his disciples and he says to his disciples, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now he's not talking to unsaved people now. He's talking to his disciples. And a couple of verses later, he'll call them his friends. Now he is with his disciples and around them is this innumerable crowd of people who are wanting to hear this outlandish teaching that Jesus Christ has been teaching. And so Jesus turns to his disciples and says, guys, this is a teachable moment. This is a teachable moment. Guys, learn something. Learn something about what we've just experienced. Here's what I want you to learn. I want you to learn that hypocrisy, the hypocrisy that sins people to hell, can also impact you as my disciples. Be careful. Be careful. And so I want you to see one warning. One warning. There are three parts to this teaching that Jesus Christ gives. first starts off with one warning in verse number 1. He says, understand the danger of hypocrisy even impacting you as my disciple. Hey, I thought the hypocrisy was the unsaved people who were still corrupt in their heart. They'd never been redeemed by the blood of Christ. They'd never been washed clean of their sin. They're unsaved in their heart, and they're just putting on a charade on the outside. Yes, that's what chapter 11 was all about. That's what Jesus taught through chapter 11. The unsaved people who put on a front to make them look religious and good, when in reality, they're on their way to hell. But now Jesus Christ turns to his disciples and he makes a warning to his disciples. He says, guys, we can be impacted by that same thing too. You need to beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, you know what leaven is. You're Bible students. You've read your Bible. You understand the presence of leaven as an illustration in the Bible. Leaven was put into bread dough to cause the bread dough to swell up. And before they baked it, if you had unleavened bread, it was flat and it didn't swell up. You put leaven in it to make it swell up a little bit. And the thing about leaven is leaven, when you put a little bit of leaven in a lump of bread dough, that little bit of leaven just multiplies and multiplies and multiplies and multiplies and multiplies and spreads throughout the entire piece of dough until the whole is leaven. Hypocrisy, once it has a foothold in your life, it will spread and spread and spread and spread and spread and influence everything about you. This is a dangerous principle. It is rampant in the unsaved world, but it's also a danger in the heart of a Christian. This little bit of hypocrisy, just a little bit of phoniness, just a little bit of hypocrisy in the life of a Christian can spread and spread and spread and spread and spread and impact the whole of your life. Jesus Christ sees this as a grave danger. And so he issues a warning to his disciples. He says, beware, be careful, be on guard. Look into your own life as my child, as a disciple of Christ. Look into your own life and see if there's any little vestige of phoniness in your heart. Anything in your life where you act out a charade, you put on a mask, you act like you're someone that you're not really in your heart. Beware, because this hypocrisy, like leaven, can ruin your whole life. It can ruin your whole life. A warning about a little bit of leaven. Put that screen up with the question, but how about me? But how about me? I know the unsaved are hypocrites. I know the unsaved, when they go to church and they get baptized in their infancy and have their babies baptized and go through all the man-made rituals and traditions of man-made religion. I know the unsaved world, the unsaved religious world is full of hypocrisy. What about me? I've been born again. I met Jesus Christ and heard the story that Chad sang about a few moments ago. I believe that he died for me. And it stopped being something that he died for other people. He died for me. And I came to the point of my life where I knew I was lost and on my way to hell. And I got on my face before God. I said, oh God, would you save a sinner like me? And God changed my life. He saved my soul. You mean as a disciple of Christ, a friend of Jesus Christ, a born-again believer, you mean I can have hypocrisy in me? Jesus said, be careful. I warn you, disciples. I warn you, the same phoniness that's rampant in religious hypocrisy can also be found in your heart. And if it's found in your heart, it will spread. It will impact every vestige of your life. And you will find yourself acting out a mask that's not really you. And it slowly permeates and spreads. It's the leaven of hypocrisy. So Jesus Christ issues a warning. I want you to see the second part of Jesus' teaching. He gives two reasons why this is so important. Two reasons why hypocrisy is so dangerous in our lives. In verse number 2, you notice he begins the verse with 4. For this reason, here's why you need to be careful about hypocrisy. Here's one of the reasons why this is so dangerous in our lives. For this reason, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed from the housetops. You know what Jesus Christ said? He said that the reason I'm telling you to be careful, to beware, to be careful about this thing, is because hypocrisy is so dangerous. You see, hypocrisy, you've got something down deep in your heart. You're living a masked charade in front of other people. But down deep in your heart, you know who you are. You know what you think about. You know what's important to you. You know whether the people around you know you for who you are or whether they only know you from your mask. But Jesus said, I'm telling you, it's not always going to be that way. The mask will come off. And everyone will know who you really are. The mask will come off. And what is true inside your heart will become known to everybody. The danger of hypocrisy is that hypocrisy doesn't permanently cloak the reality of who I am. It only hides it for a little while. The mask only stays on for a little while. Sooner or later, it is uncovered. That which is hid shall be known. That which I whispered in someone's ear in a closet will be shouted from the housetop and announced to everyone what I whispered in a closet and in somebody's ear. What's Jesus saying? He's just simply warning us that hypocrisy is dangerous because that which is real in the heart of an individual will sooner or later become known to everyone around them. You see that happen every week, don't we, in the news? Someone that has lived for years in the political world or the entertainment world or the religious world. People have lived for years and they had a careful mask that projected who they were. And then sooner or later, something slips up. Something becomes known. Something hits the news. And all of a sudden, everyone knows they were a hypocrite all that time. And the reality of who they were in their heart became known to everybody. And all of a sudden, people begin to dig for the dirt. And then they publish what they whispered in their ear in the closet that no one will ever know. And all of a sudden, everybody knows the reality of who that person is in their heart. But that doesn't only happen to politicians and religious leaders and entertainers and people in the public eye. That happens to every one of us. You cannot hide what's in the depths of your heart. Sooner or later, God will rip the mask off. Everyone will know who you are. It's like, this is dangerous. This thing of hypocrisy is dangerous. We can live so many years so careful, guarding, outsmarting everybody else. Making sure everything is hidden. Making sure that the telltale signs are well covered. Making sure that we cover our tracks so well. Nobody is successful at keeping it hid forever. Hypocrisy is pretty dangerous. Being a phony is pretty dangerous. Does it affect
Me? Oh, yeah. Does it affect you? Oh, yeah. It's a dangerous thing. Hypocrisy can affect every one of us. We put a face on that's not real. And God works out the circumstances. You know, in the world, when a hypocrite is busted, when a hypocrite's busted in the world, you know, the first question, particularly if they're in the public eye, the first question is not what did they do wrong? How can it be made? What do we need to do about the? You know what the first reaction is? Damage control. Damage control. All of a sudden, there's board meetings. And there's how can we handle the information? How can we handle should we go ahead and come out and publicly just should we wait a little while and try to? And there's damage control, and people are fixated on managing the negative publicity. And that's true in our lives, as away from the public eye as we may be. Damage control doesn't work. The negative publicity will not be hid. Oh, it might be hid for a year, 2 years, 5 years, 20 years, 30 years. Sooner or later, God takes off the mask. And people know that all that time, we were a phony. We were a hypocrite. We lived with a mask that hid the real person that we were. Jesus Christ gives a warning. Be careful of this. Be careful of this. He gives a reason. Why should we be careful of this? We should be careful of this because this is so dangerous in our lives. It's so disrupting. It's so destructive in our lives. But there's a second reason. Verse number four. And I say unto you, my friends. He's talking to his friends. And I say unto you, my friends. So first of all, it's dangerous. It's going to be broke open. But there's something else, too. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you who ye shall fear. Fear him which hath, after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. The second reason why we need to be careful of hypocrisy is because of the punishment. It comes to hypocrites, the punishment of hypocrisy. Jesus Christ says, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. There is judgment for hypocrisy. And he says to his friends, he says, I'm telling you, don't be afraid of these people that kill the body and after that they have no more. What was playing out? What was playing out was this crowd of religious hypocrites is just in a few months, they're going to be killing the body of Jesus Christ. These very people in Jerusalem are going to cry out, crucify him, crucify him. They're going to demand that Pilate put him to death. These religious hypocrites are going to fight against the genuineness of the teaching of Jesus Christ and his followers. The Gospels are going to end with Jesus Christ being crucified by these religious hypocrites. And then the book of Acts is all about the persecution that came into the lives of the followers of Jesus Christ. I mean, this is a battle shaping up here between the genuine and the false. Genuine biblical Christianity and man-made religious tradition that makes people hypocrites. There's a battle shaping up. And Jesus knows that his friends, his disciples, who follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, some of these people are also going to be killed. Almost all the apostles were put to death for their faith in Christ because they taught what he taught. They followed his instructions. And after Jesus was crucified in the next 30, 40 years, all the apostles that had followed Christ and spread out over the world to preach the gospel, they were put to death. I mean, there's going to be a lot of killing of the bodies of Christ's followers by religious hypocrites. I mean, we go right through the history of Christianity. How many of our forefathers did the Roman Catholic Church put to death because they wouldn't follow their traditions? How many of our forefathers did the Protestants put to death because our forefathers wouldn't follow their man-made religious traditions? I mean, all over the world, Christianity's getting ready to fan out. Jesus is going to be crucified. He's going to send the apostles to take the true gospel of the Word of God of Jesus Christ and spread it all over the world. And you know what's going to happen? People are going to kill their bodies. And so Jesus Christ said, don't fear the religious hypocrites who can kill your bodies. Because after they kill your body, there's nothing else they can do to you. I'll tell you who people ought to fear. They ought to fear the one who, after the body is killed, then has the power to cast that person into hell. I say unto you, fear him. So this instruction is an instruction to Jesus' friends, saying to his friends, don't be afraid of the religious hypocrites that are going to persecute you. Don't be afraid of the religious hypocrites that are going to condemn you. Don't be afraid of the religious hypocrites who are going to put you to death. After they kill you, that's all they can do. Don't be afraid of them. Go out and preach Christ, regardless of what it costs you. But I'll tell you who you ought to fear. And I'll tell you who the religious hypocrites ought to fear. The religious hypocrites ought to fear the one who will send them to hell for their hypocrisy. The punishment against hypocrisy. By the way, can I just interject something here? It is popular today to deny the existence of hell. It has become popular even in evangelical circles to deny the existence of hell. The big several years ago, the bestseller that Love Wins, that everyone's going to go to heaven, universality of salvation, everyone's going to go to heaven, nobody in hell, it's all going to be great, no matter who you are, what you do, how you live, God is love, everyone goes to heaven, Love Wins, became a bestseller. Jesus Christ said, there's the difference between the person who can kill your body and that's it. There's nothing else they can do. And the person who can kill the body and then cast you into hell. Sounds to me like Jesus Christ didn't believe that hell doesn't exist. Sounds to me that Jesus Christ had the idea that there was a punishment beyond the grave. That there was an existence of suffering beyond the death of the body. Because Jesus said to his friends, don't fear the religious hypocrites, they're going to kill your body. Don't fear them. The one everyone ought to fear is the God who, after the body is dead, then has the power to cast into hell. There is a hell beyond the grave where Jesus is an uninformed liar. There is suffering beyond the grave, or Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. Because Jesus Christ said in verse number 5, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Powerful statement from the lips of Jesus Christ to the reality of hell. A horrible teaching. Never designed for man, designed and purposed for the devil and his angels that rebelled against God. Jesus Christ said that it was not created for us, but if we rebel against our Creator and insist on linking ourselves with the arch enemy of God, Satan himself, we will have to suffer with Satan after the grave. Jesus said, we need to fear God. The hypocrites need to fear God. The religious phony people need to fear God. We all need to fear God. Because hypocrisy brings punishment. And that is a reality that we need to be careful about in our lives. Remember, this was being initially directed at unsaved people. But now we're being warned as Christian people to be careful of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, because it can influence us as well. And we can have issues and problems with God's judgment. Not hell, but God's judgment for our sin. I want to turn over to Romans chapter 1. This thing of hypocrisy, it is so prevalent and so powerful and brings such punishment. I want you to know that the Bible spoke of a day when people would not fear God and they would not fear their sinfulness of their hearts. In Romans chapter 1, and just jumping down to verse number 29, the Bible speaks of a culture that's filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Now watch this, last verse, verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know, it's a fearful thing to live at a time in American history where so many people are unashamed of their sinfulness. They don't blush. They're immoral, immodest, ungodly, and they don't feel bad about it. They don't blush. They're not ashamed. Not only do they do those things, but they have pleasure with those that do it with them. They just, it's life is one big party. Let's rebel against God and live our own life the way we want to live and not have any concern about His holiness or standing before Him one day. That's where God put us, to hold up the torch of Christianity in a place at a time when people are not at all embarrassed by the rebellion against God and His holiness and His morality. People are proud of their sinfulness. I mean, they post it on social media for everyone to see. They're not ashamed at where they go and what they do and what they're involved in. They're not embarrassed. Some people take the mask off and just live their heart out for everyone to see. They're not hypocrites. They're just reprobate. They're not hypocrites. They're just wicked people. And they have pleasure in rebelling against God. They're proud of their sinfulness. They strut in their parades with their signs and their banners, and they defy God. They're not hypocrites. They're wicked, perverted reprobates who don't understand the judgment of God. They ought to fear the God who, when their body dies, has the power to cast them into hell forever. But they don't. They don't fear Him. They don't stand against the sinfulness of others. They send congratulations cards to those who flaunt their immorality. They attend the weddings of people who openly defy God's morality by living perverted lives, male with male and female with female. People attend their weddings and send them wedding cards, and there's no shame, there's no embarrassment, there's no horror, there's no falling before God and say, "Oh God, what's happening in my country?" No, there's no shame. We live in a time where there's no fear of God. Jesus says, I'm warning you Christians, because my friends, my disciples, my friends, I'm warning you, my friends, be careful, because that which characterizes the ungodly in the world, even the religious hypocrites, that which characterizes the world can impact you too. You need to understand that the mask is going to come off someday. And everyone's going to know what you really were. And if you've been a hypocrite, you will be judged for it. If you're like the hypocrites in chapter 11, the unsaved hypocrites, you ought to fear God because He has the power to send you to hell after your body dies. Why does God tell us? Why did Jesus teach this? This is hard. In the middle of chapter 11, the lawyer stood up and says, "Man, this is hard what you've said about the Pharisees. It sounds like you're implicating us too. I mean, this is hard teaching Jesus Christ is doing. This cuts to the core of who we are as people on the inside. What we know we are in our hearts. This is hard stuff." Why does Jesus say this? Why did Jesus teach this? I'll tell you why He taught this. Look at verse number 6 in our text. "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God." Why did Jesus say that? What does that have to do with the context of what is being talked about here? Jesus Christ said, sparrows. What are sparrows? In Jesus' day, the culture, let me give you a little, the culture, the life and times of Jesus, sparrows were the food for poor people. They'd put up nets and they'd try to catch them. They would pluck them. They would, a little sparrow, but they were poor people. They were cheap. I mean, you could buy how many of them? 5 of them for 2 farthings. I mean, they're cheap. They feed the poor. They're insignificant. They're just little sparrows. There's millions of them. They're not important. They're not valuable. They're inexpensive. They're the food for poverty people. They're just sparrows. God doesn't forget about one of them. Every one of them are numbered. He knows each of them individually. He even knows how many hairs you got on your head. Verse number 7. Even every hairs of your head are all numbered. God knows. I heard someone say, someone wrote, and I forgot the number. He wrote, what is the average head? How many hairs the average head holds? Can't remember how many hundreds or thousands, but the average head. How many hairs the average head holds? God not only remembers the average, He knows some of you that are way under average. I mean, every time you brush your hair, His computers engage. Because every one of your hairs are numbered. And well, there goes 5 more. What's Jesus? What does this have to do with anything in this message of Jesus Christ? He was looking at His friends. And He just talked about the importance of fearing God because of the judgment of God. Why did He say this? Is God just wanting us to feel bad? Is He trying to tighten the screw down to make us feel miserable? Does God get some evil glee out of seeing us squirm? Why does God say such things? The answer is simple. Because He cares about you. He cares about you. I mean, you were on His mind when He hung the moon. He holds the sparrow in flight. He cares about you. He cares about you. And so at the bottom of it all, this thing of religious hypocrisy that sends people to hell because they're trusting man-made traditions of religion instead of trusting Jesus Christ and His teaching. At the end of it all, God says, we got to be careful because this same hypocrisy can cause us to have to be dealt with by God as hypocrites. And I'm telling you because I care about you. I'm telling you because I love you. God says, I want you to know that I know everything about everything. And if I know everything about insignificant stuff like sparrows and the numbers of hairs on a head, don't you know how much I care about you? I don't want you to have the mask ripped off and be embarrassed one day. I don't want everyone to read on Facebook that, oh, did you see what just happened to so-and-so? The shock when the word gets around that a well-known pastor has been having a multi-year affair and the mask just got ripped off and all of a sudden his family's tore up and his church family is tore up and there's suffering and there's pain. You know why Jesus warns us about hypocrisy? Because He loves us. He doesn't want us to go through the judgment of hypocrisy because hypocrisy will always be found out. It's only a matter of when. The mask comes off and everyone knows who you really are. And out of love and compassion, Jesus Christ says, I care about you. I don't want you to face this. Well, our time is gone. There is one more part to the message. It's in verse number 8 through 12, so I don't want to start it. It's one challenge. And the challenge is simple. You read through that verses 8 through 12, and the challenge is simple. Jesus Christ says, and we'll look at it again in the future. I'm not sure when, maybe on a Sunday night. Might even look at it tonight, I don't know. But Jesus Christ challenges them. You need to stand up for me. Because the one who confesses me before men, you need to confess me before the religious hypocrites that are going to crucify me in a few months. You need to stand up for me in front of the phonies that have made up religion to make people look good, but in the core of their being, they're lost, corrupt, immoral. We see it on the news. We see it in the religious world. We see it in the political world. It's true in all of us. You need to stand up for me and confess me before man in a time and in a place, in a world where it'd be a lot easier just to deny me and keep your mouth shut. It'd be a lot easier to just go along, to get along. He challenges his friends. Mind you, some of those friends are going to be put to death for following Jesus' challenge. Some of them are going to have their bodies killed by the religious hypocrites because they follow Jesus' challenge to confess Christ before man. The challenge is, whatever culture you live in, whatever part of the world, whatever time in history, whoever you are, wherever you are, if you have been born again, if you're blood washed, blood bought, if you know that Jesus died for you, we need to influence precious people, deluded people, ignorant people, hypocritical people, people who've been lied to by the religious leaders. We need to stand up for Jesus Christ in the world in which we live, to try to influence precious people before the judgment of God comes to play in their lives. Father, I am amazed at this teaching. It's a hard teaching. I'm just taken back by Jesus Christ's boldness and clarity about the dangers and the punishments that come to hypocrisy. And Lord, I don't want to be influenced by hypocrisy. I don't want hypocrisy to take hold in my life and permeate my life like leaven permeates a lump of bread dough. God, I pray that You'll help me, help each of us in our personal lives, in our private lives, in our lives out of public view, where hardly anybody knows who we really are. God, help us to stay squeaky clean in our commitment and relationship with You, that we might avert the danger and punishment that comes to all hypocrisy. Lord, help us. Thank You for caring enough about us to tell us the truth. Thank You for loving us enough to force us to face the dangers and punishment that comes to hypocrites, that we might be serious in the inner recesses of our hearts, serious in our relationship with you. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you're here today and you've never been saved, maybe you've trusted religion. Maybe you've trusted man-made religious practices. Maybe you've been taught to do your best, try your hardest, be as good as you can, and you wear a mask. But down deep in your heart, you know that you fall so far short of what God requires. You've broken His law. You've sinned against Him. If you're like that here today, I want you to know that God loves you so much. We have people here that would love the opportunity to slip off to another room and pray with you about your need of being saved. And for those of us who are saved, oh, would you listen to the voice of the Spirit of God? Would you think deeply about the danger of allowing hypocrisy a foothold in our lives that can end up ruining us? Would you talk to God about it before we close?
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray.
Here just for a moment. I was talking to a man once who was trying to climb back out of a life of hypocrisy that nobody knew about. And this man made a statement to me. He said, "The problem with us in church is nobody admits what they're really struggling with. Everyone just wears a mask. How you doing? Walking on sunshine. How you doing? It's fine. Great. The men get together sometimes over at Raj Adhikari's home, get together, I think, this Friday night coming up. And one of the things that is noted sometimes in those times of some men getting together to pray together is this thing of masks. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another. The Bible talks about being open and transparent. And sometimes we can live for years with a mask on. Nobody knows what we're really struggling with. Sometimes we have to become vulnerable. Sometimes we have to become accountable to somebody. Sometimes we have to just be honest with someone who we can trust. Someone who loves us enough that we can trust them and tell them the reality of what's happening in our hearts. Sometimes it's in becoming vulnerable and transparent and honest that we gain prayer partners. And we're able to face and get victory over something in our lives. Now, hypocrisy is the kind of thing that sends people to hell every day. But it's also the kind of thing that hurts Christian people when we're not honest and transparent. Do you have someone you can trust that you can be honest with and tell them what's happening in your heart when it's ugly? Can you trust them enough to tell them? To get them to pray for you? Maybe even hold you accountable a little bit and ask you every once in a while, hey, how are things going with such and such? And it's a good thing. Jesus really does love us deeply. That's why he wanted us to seriously wrestle with this thing of hypocrisy, even in our lives as the friends of Jesus Christ.